Hello.
Oh, is there another mic? Okay, I was waiting for Pastor Schaller, but I guess maybe he's not coming, so, but Pastor Arturo from Lima, Peru is the designated rap speaker tonight, so, if you have questions for Pastor Arturo, ask away. So, Lord, bless our rap tonight. Thank you for Pastor Arturo. And we pray that everyone here would end up being a missionary in Latin America. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Questions, preguntas for Pastor Arturo? Isn't that a great name? Can everyone say Arturo? Notice her name starts with Art, Art. That's Arte. It means she's very creative. Artsy kind of pastor. Arts and crafts. His wife's name is Craft. Art and Craft. We're just being silly. Any questions? Would you like to say anything? ¿Quieres decir algo? Okay.
Yeah. Buenas noches con todos. En este tiempo de la conferencia aquí en Baltimore.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight at the conference in Baltimore.
Vemos cómo Dios bendice a la iglesia, a su iglesia.
We see how God blesses His church.
Usando hombres que son nuestros pastores,
using men who are our pastors,
que nos revelan los pensamientos de Dios,
who manifest the thoughts of God,
y eso nos edifica a todos,
and that edifies all of us.
Podemos experimentar la vida del cuerpo de Jesucristo.
We experience the life of the body of Christ.
Cuando nos encontramos con nuestros hermanos de todo el mundo.
And when we get together with our brothers and sisters from all over the world.
Y que estamos en un mismo espíritu, tenemos el mismo mensaje, tenemos el mismo Dios y Padre, y tenemos comunión los unos con los otros.
So we have the same spirit, we have unity, we have the same God and Father.
Y qué bueno es escuchar los mensajes de los pastores.
It's so good to hear the messages from the pastors.
Y el título de la conferencia es Por el camino más excelente.
And the theme of the conference, A More Excellent Way.
Y ellos nos revelan los pensamientos de Dios.
And they reveal to us God's thoughts.
En Isaías 14:24, la palabra de Dios dice.
In Isaiah 14:24, the word of God says.
Jehová de los ejércitos juró diciendo.
God of the host swore, saying.
Se hará de la manera que lo he pensado.
It will be as I have thought.
Será confirmado porque así lo he determinado.
And it will happen because that is what I have determined.
Dios nos da sus pensamientos y lo confirma en nuestros corazones.
God gives us His words and He confirms them in our heart.
Porque así Él lo ha determinado.
Because that's what He has determined.
Y todo lo que hemos recibido.
And all that we have received.
Es porque Dios así lo ha determinado.
It's because God, that is what God has determined.
Y cuando hablamos de un camino más excelente.
And when we speak of a more excellent way.
Es porque tenemos la doctrina más excelente.
It's because we have the more excellent doctrine.
Y esa doctrina más excelente es la doctrina de la gracia y de la obra consumada.
And that more excellent doctrine is the doctrine of the finished work and of the more excellent way.
Porque también hay otras doctrinas.
Because there are also other doctrines.
Hebreos 13:9 dice diversas doctrinas y extrañas.
Hebrews 13:29 says strange and diverse and strange doctrines.
Pero también dice buena cosa es afirmar el corazón con la gracia.
But it also says it is a good thing to affirm the heart in grace.
Y eso es lo que está haciendo Dios en nuestros corazones, afirmando nuestros corazones con la gracia.
And that's what God is doing, confirming our hearts in the grace of God.
Cuando vamos al libro de Tito 2:12,
and Titus 2:12,
la palabra nos revela que la gracia nos enseña.
The Bible tells us that grace teaches us.
¿Y qué es lo que la gracia nos enseña?
And what is it that it teaches us?
Renunciar a una vida de impiedad.
It teaches us to reject a sinful life.
Renunciar a los deseos mundanos.
And to reject worldly desires.
Y nos enseña a vivir una vida justa, sobria y piadosa.
And it teaches us to live a holy, just life.
Y esa es la doctrina más excelente.
And that is the more excellent doctrine.
Cuando Pablo le dice a Timoteo en Timoteo 4, 7 y 8,
and when Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8,
esfuérzate en la piedad.
So be strong in holiness.
En la doctrina de la piedad.
In the doctrine of holiness.
Y la doctrina de la piedad.
In the doctrine of holiness.
La gracia,
the grace,
obra consumada,
the finished work,
misericordia,
mercy,
amor de Dios,
love of God,
y todo lo que Dios tiene, pensamientos de bien para sus hijos.
And all those thoughts, those good thoughts that God has for his people.
En el versículo 8 dice que la gracia de Dios tiene promesas para esta vida y para la venidera.
So the grace of God has promise for this life and for the life to come. That is holiness.
Y también en Primera de Timoteo 6:3, la palabra dice que no nos dejemos llevar por doctrinas que no se conforman a las sanas palabras de Jesucristo.
And 1 Timothy 6:3 says that we should not be taken by doctrines that are not conformed, not good doctrine. I can't remember exactly the words he said.
Y por eso que hemos escuchado en las prédicas las sanas doctrinas, las sanas palabras de Jesucristo a la mujer del pozo.
And so there was a woman at the well. She heard these holy, healthy words from the Lord.
A la mujer encontrada en adulterio.
And also the woman caught in adultery.
Sanas palabras, no te condeno.
Holy words, neither do I condemn you.
A la mujer pecadora que estaba con el perfume, llorando, secando con sus cabellos.
And the woman at Jesus' feet with the perfume that she anointed him with.
Los hombres decían, mujer pecadora.
Men said, a sinful woman.
Jesús le dijo, sanas palabras, tus pecados te son perdonados.
Jesus spoke holy words to her, your sins have been forgiven.
Sanas palabras es lo que nos enseñan a dar una respuesta de amor hacia nuestro prójimo.
Holy words are those words that cause us to give a loving response to others.
Dios nos dispensa su gracia, su amor, su misericordia.
God gives or dispenses his grace and his mercy.
Para que nosotros también podamos dispensar gracia, amor, misericordia.
He does that so that we in turn can dispense his love and his grace and his mercy.
¿Y quiénes necesitan? Los que estamos en falta, los que hemos fallado. Para ellos, para eso es la gracia.
And for whom, for who is it? For from whom is it? It is for those who have faults. They are the ones who need it.
En Oseas 6:6, la palabra dice, misericordia quiero y no sacrificios.
Hosea 6:6 says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice.
Conocimiento de Dios más que holocaustos.
And mercy of God more than sacrifice.
Eso es lo que quiere Dios, darnos siempre su misericordia en lugar de estar cumpliendo mecánicamente los sacrificios ordenados por la ley.
That's what God wants. He wants to give us mercy rather than people mechanically going through the motions and offering their sacrifices.
Ahora escuchamos de un predicador que dijo que la ley no justificó a nadie.
I heard a preacher say that the law did not justify anybody.
Porque todos somos justificados por la gracia de Dios.
Because we are all justified by the grace of God.
Pero también debemos recordar el ataque al mensaje de la gracia.
But we should also be mindful of the attack that comes against the message of the grace of God.
Y el ataque es que la gracia es una licencia para pecar.
And that attack is that when someone says that grace is a license to sin.
Por eso que en Romanos 6:1, ¿qué pues diremos? ¿Perseveraremos en el pecado para que la gracia abunde?
So that's why Romans 6:1 says, should we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound?
Y la respuesta de Dios es, en ninguna manera.
And so God's response to that is, what does the King James say? God forbid.
Pero el que recibe la gracia sí persevera en algo. El que recibe la gracia sí persevera.
So those who receive the grace of God persevere.
En Hechos 2:42 dice, los 3,000 que se agregaron a la iglesia en el discurso de Pedro.
In Acts chapter 2, Peter's message, there were 3,000 believers together.
No perseveraban en el pecado.
And they did not continue in sin.
Perseveraban en la doctrina de los apóstoles, en la comunión de unos con otros y en el partimiento del pan.
What they continued in was in the word of God, in the grace of God, and sharing their food one with another, breaking of bread.
Ahora, en la conferencia nos hemos reunido para perseverar en la doctrina de los apóstoles. Hemos escuchado los mensajes de todos los predicadores, la doctrina de los apóstoles, la doctrina de las sanas palabras de Jesús.
So we come together at this conference to persevere or continue in the sound doctrine that we have received from the different pastors.
Y todo eso sucedió porque Jesús dijo, consumado es.
And all this happens because Jesus said, it is finished. Okay, is there a question? Yes. Arbor. Arbor is from Romania. Albania.
Thank you. Thanks for the message. It's nice to be here. And who heard the message from Pastor Sibeli tonight? Like bring one, disciple one. What's another one? What was the third one? Plant one. So I heard the message from Pastor Carl Stevens before. And his last words, it was souls, souls. So if we want to see like family or cousin or our friends, like we stay for long with them. preach the gospel to them, because it's really important. Because you see that these are evil. And just go do outreach because it's fun. And I heard them from Pastor Stephen's message again. We all like have many gifts, like God gave us, and we need to use it for body of Christ. But and Pastor Shibeli said, have large heart for people. So when I was in Albania, I bring like many people to Christ, not because I am like perfect or I save people. It's Jesus who saves souls. We can bring many, many people to Christ, thousands or hundreds. But one soul is like all the world, one in the world. Yeah. So, yeah. Think, and it's time, because something can happen any time, any moment, you know. We don't know where, what can happen. It's something like, yeah, share gospel with your family. So many people, let's say like students, they stay with their friends in the building where they live. Someone is Christian and his friend is not Christian. And they stay like for a long time, but he not share Christ with him, you know. Don't wait, but preach the gospel. Share the good news. Yeah. Why not? Let's see our family and cousin or our friends to heaven, you know? And yeah, I'm enjoying the message. It's really good. I was talking with Pastor Eugene. Like, it's not just like reading the Bible, but enjoy the Bible. Live the Bible. Live the verses. Do the things that God promised to you. And yeah, I'm just like, thank you for our message. God bless you.
Gracias, gracias.
I'm June. I'm from Florida. I haven't been here in 10 years. I was in Lenox in 82, 83, something like that. Just for a short time. I didn't get to finish school. But after the rat, I was at the lunch wrap in the cafeteria. And I seen somebody from Florida that I knew. I invited him to sit down. Nice looking man. Nice to meet you. He sits. It's okay. You know, I'm all covered. I look. I don't remember him at first. 27 years ago. I invited him to a Bible study at my home. I don't remember. He remembered everything. He was a Christian, but because of that Bible study, he became part of the body. He went to college. Pastor Stevens is alive then in Florida, and he's still in the ministry today. Just because I invited. And my pastor, Pastor Strauss, invested in him that night and walked all over the mobile home park where I live. So you never know what you say, what you do. I forget. You know, I've talked to many people today. When I left for a break, I went to the grocery store, saved five people. I shared because of the love that was pouring out of me. The gospel. That's all I did. One, I know four did, but one, I don't know. But I don't know what I said. A young girl 3 years ago asked me for my... asked me, you're my elder. She lost her husband like I did at 34. A little child. What can I teach my child? I said, I don't know. I never had children. The only thing I know that works for sure, teach him Jesus. She never was saved. She got saved. Her mother, her brother, her whole family, by just me telling her to teach that child Jesus. And it's the love, what they're preaching. It's true. It's so true. And that's all we have to do. He shines through us. He works through us. I've never gave a testimony. People wouldn't believe what an orphan child I was at one time. It's only because of God that I'm here and alive, healthy, breathing, happy. Christ is my husband. I know this because of the love that I was taught in this ministry, and I can minister to others.
So, let's see. Does anybody have any questions? What do you want to say?
Hi. I loved the verse that you were talking about. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And my question is, so if someone is living in sin and refuses, you know, to leave that sin or weakness or whatever, would you say then that they are not receiving grace? Because even though, you know, we live in sin, we still get grace. We're still going to heaven. So that's my question. Or maybe it's mercy that they're constantly receiving, but they're not receiving grace.
Lo que hemos compartido, lo que dice la Biblia, perseveraremos en el pecado para que la gracia abunde. La respuesta la da la misma Biblia. En ninguna manera. No hay ni siquiera...
Okay, so like we said before in Romans 6:1, if we continue in sin, you know, should we continue in sin that the grace of God should abound? The answer is, I forget what it says in English. En ninguna manera, like absolutely not.
Dios dice que no hay ni siquiera una posibilidad de perseverar en el pecado.
Yeah, and God says in no way are we to continue in sin.
Pero eso no significa de que un cristiano ya no peca nunca.
Well, and that doesn't mean that a Christian never sins.
Y Dios sabía que todavía íbamos a pecar.
And God knows that we were going to sin.
Y por eso que en Primera de Juan,
and so in 1 John,
dice que la sangre de su Hijo nos limpia de toda maldad.
Says that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Evil.
Dice de toda maldad.
Of all sin.
Eso debemos aplicarlo a nuestra conciencia. La sangre de su Hijo nos limpia.
And so we need to apply the blood of Christ to our conscience, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Juan dice, hijitos míos, no pequéis.
John said, little children, do not sin.
Y luego dice, si alguno pecare,
but then it says, if one sins,
abogado tenemos.
We have Spanish says lawyer, but we have an advocate with the Father.
Y qué grande abogado que tenemos.
And what a great advocate we have.
No va a perder ninguna causa.
And as an advocate or lawyer, he's never lost a case. He doesn't lose a case.
Porque su sangre nos limpia de todo pecado.
Because his blood cleanses us from all sin.
Pero también la Biblia dice,
but also the Bible says,
que todo pecado tiene una consecuencia.
That every sin has a consequence.
Y el Hijo de Dios va a vivir las consecuencias de su pecado.
And so the children of God live in the consequences of their sins.
Y Dios también dice que por qué nos ama.
And so God asks us, why do we love?
Viene una disciplina.
So God says, with the sin comes discipline. No, because he loves us, he disciplines us.
Pero la disciplina es porque nos ama.
But the discipline is because he loves us.
Pastor Shalor una vez en Perú nos hizo una como una aplicación para entender bien lo que es la gracia.
Pastor Shalor in Peru once made a great illustration regarding what the grace of God is.
Nos dijo, imagínense una piscina con agua.
Imagine a swimming pool filled with water.
Llena de agua.
Full of water.
Eso es la gracia. Ustedes están en la piscina.
And so that's grace, and you are in the pool.
Cuando ustedes fallan, fallan dentro de la gracia.
And so when you fail, you fail in grace.
Y cuando se levantan en la gracia.
And when you come up in grace.
Porque Dios siempre va a tratar al Hijo dentro de su gracia.
Because God always deals with his children in grace.
Están todos aquí mis amigos latinos. Yo estaba atrás. Una pregunta tenía. ¿En inglés? Ah, cierto. Sorry. Yes, yes. So, I had a question. As far as our devotional life, in our practical devotional life, what are suggestions that you could give us to stay focused? Because at times I feel like some days I'm very focused and some days I'm not focused. Sometimes there are even weeks. I mean, I had the privilege of living with Pastor Stan, so I didn't have a chance to be unfocused because I was there every day. There was always something better. But when, you know, right now I'm not going to get to live with him anymore. So I was just thinking about, like, okay, so now I'm not in a team house, you know, I'm just on my own. And how do I keep myself focused, you know, when you have a job and when you have responsibilities? You guys know that I have a family and three kids and also schooling that I do online. Just... you know, suggestions or advice to stay focused on the word or on what God is talking right to us.
Todas las respuestas lo encontramos en este libro.
All the answers we find in this book.
Y lo que dice Martín, hijos, trabajo, cualquier pretexto podemos poner.
What Martin said, the work, the kids, school, all these things.
Cuando vamos al libro de Hechos 20:32,
And so in Acts 8:22.
22.
22. Yeah. Oh, 32. 20, 32. Oh, Acts 20:32.
La palabra dice, y ahora, Dios está respondiendo la pregunta de Martín. Y ahora, hermanos, os encomiendo a Dios.
And so Paul says, brethren, I commend you to God.
Y a la palabra de su gracia.
And to the word of his grace.
Que tiene poder para sobre edificaros y daros herencia con todos los santificados.
That has, I'm trying to remember it now in English, I commend you to the word of God that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified.
Es la palabra de su gracia que nos sobreedifica. Si estamos en el trabajo,
it's the word of his grace that is able to edify us.
Si estamos en el trabajo,
we're working,
meditando la palabra.
Yeah, we can meditate on the word.
Si estás viajando en tu auto,
traveling in your car,
escuchando una prédica, meditando la palabra.
Listening to a word preached, we can meditate on his word.
Tenemos todo el tiempo para sobre edificarnos en su palabra.
We have all kinds of time to build ourselves up in his word.
Pero en la palabra de su gracia.
But in the word of his grace.
Okay, so Jeremiah 15:16. there's a good thing there. Jeremiah says, your words, I found them. Right? So I found your words. And by the way, like you're here in a church where you found a preaching church, right? You how many believe that? Like 2 weeks ago, I visited somebody else's radio program in Rosario. And the guy, this radio host invited me to go and preach on his program. But he told me that the majority of the listeners are not accustomed to a lot of Bible. Right. You know, I mean, you know, you mention a couple words here or there, But he said they're not really accustomed to a lot of Bible teaching. It's a Christian program, right? But they're not accustomed to hearing a lot of Bible. And actually, we got, because the radio has a cell phone, and so we got a message from one of the listeners, because I preached, and, you know, I was in Genesis and I was in Corinthians and Galatians and 1 John and so we got a message on the cell phone. It said, too much theology. Just tell me about Jesus. And I said, like, okay, what Jesus would we talk about if we don't use the Bible, right? So, but anyway, I don't say that just to, you know, to criticize. I mean, I'm just saying, you found the word. You found the word. That's, you're like Jeremiah. Thy word was found. Like by me. Like by you. It was, hey, that's good. But then, he said, the next step, right? And I did eat it. Like, okay, so how about this? Somebody finds it, but they don't eat it. They don't, or they, maybe they even come and fill up a chair. right? But there, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 4? Right? The word, they heard the word, the same word that we heard. The word of God, the Bible, but it didn't profit them. Isn't that a, like, that's a little bit scary verse, right? Like, they heard the same promises that we heard, but it didn't profit them. Didn't do any good. Didn't make a change. Because they didn't hear it with faith. It was not mixed with faith. It was not accompanied. Yeah, you got to have it accompanied by faith. So that's really like what Pastor Arturo was just saying. Like, here we have the Bible. This, why was David able to go against Goliath when everybody else was scared stiff? Why was David able to do it? Because of what he did when he was guarding the sheep. Right? While he was guarding the sheep, he was meditating. That's what Pastor Arturo just said. Like, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to, what is it? What is it? Yeah, but to what? Uphold you, right? Sustain you. Like, so, the Bible, hey, don't mess around. If you mess, listen, this is a good word. If I mess around with the Bible, like, if I just play around with the Bible, like, oh, that's what it says. Okay. Yeah. Well, then I'm messing around with God. Right? If I underestimate the Bible, then I underestimate God. Because it's the Word of God. And it's alive and powerful. And really, that is just like that. That's the answer. That Pastor Arturo said, for life and godliness. Isn't that awesome? That's everything, right? For life and godliness. By the way, don't be thrown off by that word godliness. You know, I remember when I was a young guy, and I'm like. Godliness. I don't even know if I want to have that because I thought like that was just, you know, for people that weren't like me, you know, like the rest of it. But actually, godliness just means being like God, thinking like God, evaluating from God's perspective, like loving like God loves. Because it's Him in us. Yeah. So does that answer basically what you were? Yeah, just like meditate on the Bible. Yeah. Well, you do. And you do. Like the way you raise your kids. It's so awesome. It was like that guy. By the way, you get a chance. Spend some time with that guy back there. Even if you don't like Argentina football, that's okay. Even if you're from France, because tomorrow is never mind. Okay, here we go. But he's awesome.
Okay, I just wanted to ask a question about Jonah for a minute. But Pastor Schaller's message on Tuesday night, when God sent Jonah on the mission to Nineveh, and he went on the cruise in the opposite direction, and after he got spit out on the shores of Nineveh, what happens when God calls someone to the mission field and then the person has the wrong vision? As we read in Jonah that when God saved them before that, Jonah had the idea that he wanted God to judge them, but instead God saved them. So when you are called to the mission field, what happens when you go with the wrong vision or the wrong idea?
You want to answer that? Okay, so that's a good question. Because, like, we want to say. Like, don't think that you could never be like Jonah. I preached a message, I think it was in Chile. Yeah, it was in Chile a month ago. And, what happened to Jonah is not so uncommon. Yeah. And everybody looked at me like we've never been swallowed by a fish. You know, I mean, that's just a little part of the story, by the way. Like, that's not the story. The story is what our dear brother was saying there. Like, you have a man, a Christian, a missionary, but he has the wrong, he's not thinking right. Right? He's not thinking right. What happens? And so this is the awesome thing. Okay, God loved the people of Nineveh, the multitude, 120,000, right? So God loved them, so he sent the one man to preach to them. And even when the guy went the opposite direction and is on the ocean, God has he says, there's no other ships going that way, so we'll put you in a fish. And I'll send the fish that way. And so Jonah goes. And Jonah preaches. And the people repent. 120,000 people. And Jonah is angry. Right? But here's the beautiful part. Right? And this is the answer to your question. Like, what happens? God cares about Jonah. And when I'm thinking like Jonah, God cares about me. God doesn't just go like, well, okay, I got you to preach to the 120,000, so I don't care about you. No, he cares about you. Right? He cares about me. The one is just as important to God as the 120,000. Is that good? The one is just as important. So important that we understand this. Like, God cared about Jonah. And So that chapter 4 is so beautiful. I mean, God's not in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that? Like God is, you know, like we can get in a hurry, but God's like, oh, okay, what should I do? I'll make a plant grow. And the plant will, because Jonah's angry. Jonah's angry, you know, and he's watching to see what will happen. He's still hoping for fire and brimstone. Like, he's hoping for a volcanic eruption and a lava flow to consume the city of Nineveh. He's up on the hill watching. But God makes a plant grow up over his head. And he's like, oh, my tree. But then God has a worm in the ground. And the worm eats the plant. And then God sends, even after that, God, now he doesn't have the shade anymore, and God sends a hot wind. And now Jonah is even more angry. And Jonah, but God says, and God says, Jonah, do you do so well to be angry? And Jonah says, yes, it's right for me to be angry about the poor plant. And God says, okay, all right. Like, and that plant, it's a plant. And you didn't make it grow. Like, I did. Like, you didn't do, nothing from you caused this. But it grew, and you love it, and you care about it. Jonah, God is so tender with him. And he says, shouldn't I care about the 120,000 people that they are it created in my image, and I love them. Shouldn't I care about them? And the book ends right there. And maybe Jonah is like, maybe the book ends because Jonah has no answer for that. You know, maybe Jonah just goes, and maybe Jonah got right. But that's the answer, what I want to say. Like what happens when we have a wrong attitude? God is tender with us and he loves us. And we don't know what happened with Jonah. We don't know if he responded to that or not. But we know what God did. God gave a lot of grace to the man who wasn't thinking right. And that's what he does with us. Yeah, comment.
Can you come up? Because we're old guys and we don't hear so well. Well, we're not old. No, we're not. Wait, we're not old, Pastor Heavy. How about you, Pastor Arturo? Are you old? We're almost all the same age, by the way. Isn't that fun?
I was just wondering why you thought, or why you might think Jonah was so angry, and why that was important to communicate in that passage. Why do you think that was communicated to us?
Okay. Okay, so the question is, why was Jonah so angry? Right? Why was Jonah so angry? Oh, huh? Why did I say he was angry? Or why was he, why was, Oh, why do I think that Jonah was so angry? Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we had Martin and his, I use Martin and his family in all kinds of illustrations. Because, like, we never had little children living in the team house before. So I have so many more illustrations now. So one of his children is 4 years old. And when this little four-year-old boy doesn't get his way, guess what? He doesn't go like, oh, that's okay, Dad. Oh, that's okay, Mom. I don't need to get my way. He's like, I mean, he lets you know it, right? So I think that's really it, because he didn't get his way. Like, he wanted this, and he maybe, you know, sometimes we don't even know why we're so stupid. We're just stupid. Like, we're just, I think this is what happened with Job, by the way. Like, Job was so focused on his sufferings. And then God asks him that series of questions. And Job stops focused. Is he still, by the way, nothing has changed. He's still sick. He's so physically ill. And he still has lost all his possessions. He's poor. He's sitting in the middle of a nothing. But he stopped focusing on his sufferings. And I think he saw his, I'm sorry, but like, he saw his stupidity. I think that we need to look at how foolish we are. You know, and that we're, like, God says, no condemnation, but you're not thinking with me. You're so selfish right now. Yeah. Okay. Do you think we should finish? Oh, Donald has last comment or question from, this is another awesome man. Donald Valerio. Are you going to root for Argentina tomorrow? Okay, you can have the microphone.
I was speaking to a friend, and she said, how do you know if you're in a perfect will of God? And the story of Jonah, I love it, because the fish represented like he was in his geographic will, like it was not his plan. But I want to ask you, pastors, because you've been in Ecuador, and then you were in Peru, and I just wanted to know, like, what is the sense that you're in his will and in his plan? And I know you're not supposed to see circumstances. I was speaking to a pastor, and he said, just because things happen doesn't mean that God's closing doors necessarily. So I just wanted to ask you that.
Está pensando con respecto al mensaje de Pastor Shibeli hace un momento.
So I'm thinking of Pastor Shibeli's message that we heard just moments ago.
Que el amor de Dios nos constriñe.
That the love of God constrains us.
Y pensando en Jonás, Pastor Shibeli puso a cuatro hombres a su alrededor.
Pastor Shibeli put four men around him.
Y en el caso de Jonás, el amor de Dios lo constriñó dentro de un pez.
And so in Jonah's case, he was surrounded by the love of God in a big fish.
Y él enseñó que el amor de Dios nos constriñe, que nos protege.
So the love of God constrains us and protects us.
Nos cuida, nos guarda.
It keeps us.
Y finalmente, Jonás fue guardado, cuidado, hasta llegar a su propósito de Dios.
And so Jonah was kept and cared for until he fulfilled the purpose of God.
Y si algún misionero está dentro del propósito de Dios,
and so if a missionary is within the purposes of God,
el amor de Dios lo va a proteger y Dios va a cumplir su propósito.
So the love of God protects him and he's kept in his purpose.
Yeah. And do you want to say something about that?
No, just later for just a thought with a question.
Okay.
Just another thing about Jonah regarding his anger was the Ninevites were very cruel people, and they were enemies of the Jews. And so the Jews really feared them. They were a very powerful, cruel nation. So they were a constant threat at that time. So there would have been nothing better for Jonah than to see this enemy of their nation destroyed and to get rid of that threat to his country. So when they were spared, it meant in his mind that that threat was still present, possibly, even though they repented. So he was very disappointed that they were still around.
Okay, so, yeah, and I just want to say about Donald's Donald's question. Yeah, it's the will of God. It's not like we have an email, you know, that we can go back and check, you know, where was that email that I got from you know, God@heaven.com, yeah, that I can go and look and say, okay, there it is. Okay, it's the will of God. I mean, we don't have that, right? So this is why, I mean, my personal opinion, this is why it's so important to have a church, have a pastor, communicate, you know, communicate, stay connected. Yeah, stay connected. And if you start to get disconnected, get right with God and get connected again. Because, when my wife and I, when we were deciding where to go on the mission field, we had come back from almost 7 years in Argentina, and we were here for 1 year in between. And we knew, well, we believed from God that we were going to be here 1 year and then go back out. But we didn't know where. And we had like 6 or 7 possibilities. The south of Chile, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Bolivia, let's see, Paraguay, and Peru. And we talked to the missions office. We talked to the leadership here. And we said, like, well, like, where, because this is, I think, like, this is what we believe, right? We believe that if God can give a personal call, and I do believe that, by the way, just like God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. By the way, don't worry about that you won't hear the voice of God. Jonah didn't even want to hear that, and he heard it twice. Right? He didn't even want it. He didn't want that. So don't worry that you're going to miss hearing from God. Because God is God. And he'll get through. So I believe that I can hear from God and that you can hear from God. But I also believe, why wouldn't God
give a witness to the men of God who are my spiritual covering. Right? So I wanna stay connected, communicate, you know, just practical things, and just do it, and you know, and because and this is the advantage that we have, is that in the ministry, like here in this missions office, and I just believe this with all of my heart, I've believed it ever since we met the ministry in 1974, that the leadership is not manipulative. That's awesome. That's amazing. It's such a beautiful thing. So I can have a good expectation that I can communicate and believe that they want the best for me, and that they're spiritual men. They're not perfect men. They're just spiritual men. And they're proven spiritual men, and they love God, and they love me. That's the amazing thing, right? So I have that expectation that we said to the leadership here, like, where do you think it would be best for Greater Grace World Outreach for us to go? I mean, you know, nobody has to do that, but that's what we did. We just talked with them, and you know, that's how we decided on Peru. It's like having a local church helps with so many things. Yeah, it just helps. You know, helps us to you know, it's just a protection, because God speaks to you, of course He does. But then, you know, also, like, I can speak to myself and imagine that it's God. Right? And we all understand that, and we don't want it. We don't want that. So we just say, like, okay, yeah. I don't know if that helps, but, like, because it's like one of those, it's, okay, the very, very last. Because we're all falling asleep. 40% of you guys are snoring.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, like positioning your heart in a place of thankfulness in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And just thankfulness, a great place to start. But that was awesome what you were sharing.
Terrific.
You want to pray for us, Pastor? ¿Quieres orar por nosotros y terminar?
Padre, te bendecimos en este tiempo por hablarnos, porque tú eres nuestro Dios y nos usas, Señor, a pesar de nuestras debilidades y de nuestras flaquezas, porque tú eres el que nos protege, nos guía, nos lleva, Señor, para cumplir un propósito en nuestras vidas. Y el propósito es glorificar a Jesucristo en el corazón de los perdidos. Guíanos siempre, Señor, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.